Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctor Show. This is a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We are without our trusty friend, Dr. Michael Parker, but we have an ample substitute in Dr. Kimberly Hinkle. This is, and Dr. Tony Caruso by phone over there in Chicago, where he seems to be getting a little bit of the white stuff. Tony, you there?
Yeah, shivering.
All right. Well, you know, it is February, you know.
I know.
We all have spring fever. You know, when we get these 50-degree days, they feel like we're going to get out of it, you know, unscathed. But we never seem to. So
I warned everybody.
Yeah.
This was in the end.
Yeah. So we have an interesting topic. This is our kind of doctor's roundtable here. We've been thinking and pondering this for a little while. The idea that football is a dangerous sport. Obviously, it's it's contact. Quite a bit. There's a lot of head injuries involved with this. I mean, we have this new film out that came out in December of 2015, a concussion with Will Smith that is, shedding some light on the issue we made up a new diagnosis, right, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? What are we calling it? Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, right?
CTE.
CTE. This is big stuff on ESPN, you know? The thing is that movie really was the NFL was trying to work against that. They were trying to squelch it, you know, to keep that story down, because in essence this is their moneymaker, you know?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, we all like to see those guys just hit each other every Sunday in the pros, right?
Yeah.
And it starts in the little kids and going forward and the high school. I mean, my high school in Massachusetts won its first Super Bowl when I was a freshman and then won five more.
Yeah.
You know, and the high school that my wife teaches at has won the state championship, I think 6 of the last 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what happens when that happens?
Yeah.
Boys fill the school.
They get boys there. It brings money into the school. It brings notoriety. You're on the front page of the sports. You know, people.
Right.
I mean, my high school's the same way. We've won lots and lots of, at least 7 or 8 state championships here in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
My high school coach was also the baseball coach. And he coached for 50 years at my high school.
Wow. Yeah,
I've talked about this guy. He actually blocked for the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he was a legend. I mean,
yeah.
And I've talked about Augie Basu on this show many times. He was an inspiration to me,
mm-hmm.
not because he was such a brilliant football coach, although he was, and not because he was a brilliant baseball coach, but because he was a daily communicant. And he was a humble, humble man who never put any. He actually never nominated his players for all state because he would not put anybody above anybody else.
Wow.
You know, he's a very, very a devoted Catholic, father of 8 children, and my high school worships football as a result of this guy, and
right.
It's all intertwined. I mean, we would go down to the grotto before the Blessed Virgin and pray, you know, before every home and away football game, every varsity baseball game. This was it's intertwined in Benedictine lore, you know, for us and I'm sure in every other high school throughout the nation, Catholic or Christian as well. So it's a tough issue. So
of course, well, did you play football well?
I played 1 year in CYO, and they put me on the O-line, and it drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't like the contact.
Yeah, well, I played a little bit, but never anything organized.
Yeah, yeah.
And but, I play Powder Puff one time.
Go ahead, Kimberly. this is starting to become an all boy thing tonight.
I know we got to drag her back into this conversation.
Drag her in, come on, Kimberly.
Yeah, I remember the Powder Puff game. It was the juniors against the senior girls.
Yeah, right.
It was really violent. It was tough. Well, I may have broken a nail. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Oh, it's horrible.
However, okay, let's while we're lauding the science of whatever we call football,
the gridiron.
All right, now, do your kids play well?
My kids have never played, I should make this caveat. I mean, I played high school baseball and into college, and right. I was a catcher. So I mean,
you play football then, but not like it is now,
right?
You know what I mean? But what was I going to tell you? You know, my son though, mm-hmm. I had two sons that played football,
right?
And honestly, out here in the Midwest, they play football big rather than the East Coast. I understand right. where they get all those beefy guys from.
That's right.
But I used to call the games from the press box.
Ah, okay.
And my son might have been 13, 14 years old, and he was playing safety. And he went back into the end zone, and this 250-pound running back ran over him.
Mm-hmm.
And from up in the press box, I watched for 3 minutes as my son didn't move.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
And then called out for someone to go help him. Ugh. Okay?
Yeah.
And after that, guess what happened?
What's
no
that?
More football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, I can certainly understand to a certain extent why people have looked at this way. I mean, you know, I mean, we're going to get into it because we have this a little article that the Rag, the New England Journal of Medicine.
The Rag.
but hey, okay. But, I mean, it really does do a nice job kind of giving a little bit of the background of where this argument on football has been.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not. This isn't a new thing.
No.
You know?
This happens every year. There's always a report about the amount of kids that die per high school football season. I mean, and right. they're saying they led with 11, at least 11 U.S. high school athletes died playing football during the fall of 2000, the just past fall of 2015.
Right.
So, I mean, this is not any, I mean, 15 kids or 11 kids, that's
a lot
of kids. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're the parents of these kids, what are you doing about it? You're pulling your other kids out of peewee football and stuff like
that. Exactly.
You know, I mean, the thing of it is the American Academy of Pediatrics issued a policy statement in October 2015 directly addressing tackling in football. The organization's Council on Sports Medicine and Fitness conducted a review of the literature on tackling and football-related injuries and evaluated the potential effects of limiting or delaying tackling on injury risk. It found that concussions and catastrophic injuries are particularly associated with tackling, and that eliminating tackling from football, how would you do that, would probably reduce the incidence of concussions, severe injuries, and catastrophic injuries, and overall injuries. Well, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you read these policy statements, these white papers, and you go, well, who wrote this? Because, you know, come on. We all know that.
Well, I mean, and nothing against Kimberly, but it was probably, I mean, I hate to say it, it was probably somebody's mom.
Who wrote it?
Okay. No, because, you know, I will tell you that, I mean, it does, I still have burned in my memory when, I think it was Jack Tatum hit Darryl Singley.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and that guy, I might have been 11 or 12 years old.
Yep.
And I remember crying.
Monday Night Football. It was awful.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
And he died a few years ago, but he was an inspiration to people in New England.
I know it.
You know? But, I mean, that's just how bad it can get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, you know, in the tackle football, the pros, they want to get rid of the kickoff.
Right.
They want to change the way people tackle. They give all kinds of things for people hitting wrong.
Rugby and, tackling, you know.
Well, I mean, I think it's a good idea. You know, I don't know that I completely disagree with the AAP.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, you know, I think the idea of having 8-year-olds hitting each other as hard as they can doesn't really teach them anything.
No, and you know what I mean, I've always had a hard time driving past the, you know, big fields of, you know, where kids rec associations and stuff have like little 6 and 8 year olds playing. Yeah.
Playing. That's how that movie ends. Concussion.
I know.
Watching a field of little kids playing, hitting each other as hard as they can.
I know.
I mean, you know, and I have to be honest with you. I guess it doesn't dawn on you when you're in the middle in the hot water and you're the frog. But you know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, how often, you know, you go from. Because football is part of the culture here, you know.
Right.
You go from no pads, you know, running plays to light contact to, you know, full on contact. You know,
right.
I mean, you have to gradually build into it, build up to it because it hurts.
Yeah.
You got to get your body used to it.
Right. I mean, you know, but I mean, when you think about how football, as an example, was played 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When there were no pads, there was only leather helmets, if that.
Oh my gosh!
Were people killing themselves because of CTE back then?
I don't know. I mean, I think though at that time, because I actually had two uncles who played in the military, and my one uncle was actually offered a contract by George Halas twice, with the Bears, you know, and so. This was the 50s. This was the era of the protection just wasn't there. But I also don't think that there was the strength of these kids, you know, that we have now is just beyond everything. The speed and, you know, the precision which they hit.
Right. They're bigger and they're at least as fast. And so they just, the laws of physics bring out so much more to them.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, remember, it's not just football.
No.
Right? I mean, look at what they're talking about soccer now.
Right. All these headers and everything like that. They're
so,
trying to outlaw that.
Now we're not going against 200-300-pound guys. We're going about an 11-year-old guy, and what's the weight of a soccer ball? A pound?
Yeah, it's nothing.
Okay.
But the force of it coming down, you know, after a goalie has punted it, is substantial.
It is?
Well, I mean, think about it. Joking.
I've heard there's more concussions in soccer than in tackle football.
Because people run like the wind and then they hit each other and there's nothing on their head.
Exactly.
I mean, that's where it goes. In your love, my love, baseball, right? If you get hit by a baseball on the head, you're done. You're gone.
I mean,
right?
You know, the only guy that ever died in a baseball game was hit in the head in 1920. It was Ray Chapman, who was a Cleveland Indian.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, every time you go between the lines, there is obviously danger for injury. And I guess in some respects, I mean, with this game, for certain, there's chance of death.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
So,
I mean, as a mother, I have thought,
the mother's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I have thought, I mean, my son is 2, so I don't have to worry too much. Yet.
Not yet.
So he's playing flag football now.
Yeah.
Right.
He's just, you know, he's throwing himself on top of his father and rolling around and wrestling and such. But, yeah, I've always thought there's no way I would let my son play football. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, baseball, sure. You know, baseball sounds good. Basketball, that sounds fine. But, you know, I've had a lot of other moms say, well, you know, if you're not going to do football, you really need to be worried about soccer as well.
Yeah.
Just that heading of the ball, it can be very, you know, and so now I guess the U.S. Soccer Federation has come out with that rule that nobody, for children 10 and under, they're not allowed to head the ball.
Right.
And then they're trying to limit some of the heading of the ball in practices and such for older kids.
Right.
But to think of that concussion risk, you know, and, So then I think, okay, well, what am I left with? You know, okay, so we got baseball, we got basketball. You know, I've heard fencing. Fencing's very safe.
That's
a safe sport.
That's seems like it would be unsafe, but I guess it isn't.
You know, they've got,
got a lot of gear on.
And, yeah, so, you know, fencing's a good one. Golf, of course, tennis. You know, and I do think it's wonderful if you're able to instill in your children a love for a sport they can continue through the rest of their lives.
Right.
So that's great, you know, to think of a sport such as football where they may have joint injuries for the rest of their lives, but then even, you know, brain trauma. I mean, to even just think about that's terrifying.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you know, the reason why football is is so popular in more Catholic schools is because it instills that, joie de vivre. It instills that idea of discipline.
Work
it
ethic.
It instills that idea of camaraderie
and
teamwork.
Yeah.
Right.
And notice what you were talking about, Kimberly. As you go safer and safer and safer and safer and safer, you get away from the team.
That's true. Yeah. I agree. I know. And I think that is problematic. I think that is very important. Working as a team is an important skill. But even that, particularly that male camaraderie, I think is really essential for men. And I've heard so many coaches and people say how football has like turned a young man's life around. And so you think, okay, they need something. They need some sort of an outlet that is team oriented and everything, but you know, not something that where they might die.
I agree with you, but you know, I don't know what the answer is. I think that when you get to the collegiate area, then now you're talking about people who are going to try for a certain percentage, want to play professionally. I suppose you have to kind of go. But I do think if you can modify the tackling to a certain extent, I think that might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you – one of the things that happened when my kids were small was the 8-year-olds, the year before my kid played flag. And when my son played at 8 years old, it was tackle.
Uh-huh.
I think you have to go back and you have to extend out that flag football, because I think that then you're kind of just kind of get the idea of the camaraderie in the team.
Mm. Well, and I think there's something to be said for that, and that's one of the reasons why the AAP didn't come right out and abjectly reject, mm-hmm. the whole idea of tackle football.
Right.
We got to reset now. We're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. We are with our kind of doctor's roundtable, Dr. Kimberly Hinkle, our resident moral theologian, and Dr. Tony Caruso, our reproductive endocrinologist, who has a vested interest in football, as I do as well. I was thinking about this while you're talking. I mean, we talk about football. I mean, we're here at the epicenter of Big Ten football here with the Ohio State University. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we talk about, especially in collegiate levels, we talk about money sports.
Mm-hmm.
What are the money sports?
Oh, yeah.
Football and basketball. They're the ones who put the butts in the seats, and they're the sports that ultimately drive the rest of your sports program. So,
well, I mean, think about it. I mean, the basketball. Okay, you say basketball, maybe for a few months, and what's the biggest basketball, not for Final Four, arena hold? 20,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
The Big House.
Yeah.
Holds how many?
106,000 or whatever.
106,000. How many times are there less than 106,000 people in those seats?
Rarely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they want to see the contact. They want to see.
That's right.
They want to see the athleticism. They want to see somebody get. I mean, you know, nobody wants the guy to get pulled off and carted off, but you want to see the hits.
Right. But, you know, and look, when we were kids, all of us, mm-hmm. what was the number one sport in the United States?
It was baseball.
Baseball. What was number two?
It was always football. Really?
Maybe, but I would hold. Well, boxing was bigger then too.
Yeah.
But it was
true.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, baseball was king.
And then all of a sudden, football just kind of took over.
Yeah. No, that's true. And
I mean, football laps everything else now in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, think of the commercials. I mean, how much they're paying in the Super Bowl for these mm-hmm. these 30-second spots and all this stuff. I mean, the halftime shows and. You know, I mean, they make headlines for months. You know, I mean, we still talk about Janet Jackson and her wardrobe malfunction, for God's
exactly.
sake. I mean, because this was in the Super Bowl, and even people who don't have a vested interest in sport or in football are watching millions and millions of people. So the thing is, you know. How do we dismantle this whole thing?
Right.
Or should we?
No, but you're not going to dismantle it. This is one of those things that's going to go, you know, again, you got to go back into the history. Back in the 50s, they were all worried about joints
right.
and bones. Because back in then, if you got your ACL clipped in the 1950s,
there's nothing you could do for it.
You were a cripple.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yep.
If you needed your Tommy John surgery is
oh,
now.
Oh yeah, nothing.
Your arm was useless.
You're done.
So I could see that. Now we can fix those things.
Yep.
And now we got this problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. The problem is now, what do they focus on? They're focusing on new helmets. They're focusing on. I think you're going to come to the day. Remember, hockey, ice hockey.
Mm-hmm.
When we were kids, nobody wore
no helmets.
No helmets.
Yeah.
Especially the pros.
I know. I know. Gordie Howe with
helmet.
No helmet. I'm like, geez, unbelievable.
Right? I can see Kimberly's kids when they're old enough to play soccer wearing a soccer helmet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
I see it.
I used to. I mean, this isn't funny. I mean, this just is owing to how I was raised and the sport. But I remember coaching some of my younger sons, and you know, some of the folks with their little chest protector things, so they don't get hit in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought, my gosh, where have we come? Do we need a, you know, John Travolta and the Boy in the Bubble here? You know, I mean, but I understand why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, I mean, it's a very difficult subject for me, and I know there's going to be a lot of people out there who are listening to this going, I'm very conflicted.
Yeah. It is. I think it is conflicting.
I say we had nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, right. A bunch of doctors.
But as the kids are getting bigger and as the sports are becoming, they're not just a couple months out of the year anymore. I mean, the conditioning,
right.
It's happening all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
They're requiring so much training, year-round training for these.
For one sport. People don't play three sports anymore in high school. They just
don't.
And so they're... You know, I think we kind of have to step back and look at that whole pushing our kids and when they're young to be playing at this level of intensity, this is just supposed to be high school, right?
Yeah, right.
This is just high school sports, and it becomes all-encompassing for this child. And,
right.
And that's something, you know, we need to kind of step back. I mean, they're kids, high school kids taking steroids so they can get bigger and all of these things so they
Seen
can
it.
Be the best,
yep.
so they can get scholarships. So, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And are the parents behind this? And, you
well,
know,
we
pushing?
Did a
and-
we did a show with Meg Meeker probably a couple of years ago now, talking about the travel team mentality.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that, you know, everybody wants their kid on a travel team because, oh, my gosh. Junior's going to have a scholarship to state university and blah, 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 blah. And ultimately, this is just that's a piece of this puzzle. You know, this
right.
is
right.
a part
yeah,
of it.
Well, you see, one thing I have never done is I've never let my kids play travel anything.
Mm-mm. No,
you know,
No.
I said to them, look, if you can get to the bench of the varsity, that's good enough. Because the only thing that matters to me is you're having fun.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can have fun in an in-house league for, you know, 3 months. Without having the pressure of traveling all over the place.
Well,
it was football, when they were playing football, was all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, because you have to find another team crazy enough to play football. So,
right.
You well, know, I mean, but, you know, I totally understand where we're going with this, but I know that the other side is trying to make it really much more safe to play, whether by better equipment.
I mean, better equipment, and they keep saying, you know, more supervision and all this sort of stuff. But you can have the best trainers and the sports medicine people standing on the sidelines, and there's still hitting going on. You know, there's still spearing. I mean,
but here's the difference, Will. You know, look, as Kimberly said, you know, we're like one sport mentality, put everything in all along.
Yep.
Well, that means basketball does it. Baseball does it.
Sure.
Soccer does it. Football.
Volleyball.
Yeah. How come everybody else besides football comes out one way and the football players come out a different way? Have you ever thought of that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's an interesting thought.
Put a basketball player, a baseball player, and a soccer player together
right.
that are all in tip-top shape, and their bodies look roughly the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now put them next to a running back in football.
Even a running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Wait, put him next to Cam Newton.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah?
I mean, okay, what's the difference? There's something different going on in football.
Absolutely. Absolutely, there's something different because these guys are just bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, and they're pushed to you know, really train for this sport, and that's why you get, you know, guys who are you know, defensive linemen who can run a 4.5 40, you know,
right,
which is that's unbelievable. It's not humanly possible, but they still do it, and they're still pursuing, you know, they that scholarship, that sign-on bonus, that's first round draft pick, that Heisman. So, you know, I don't know. What does this say? What does this say about us? You know,
it's the worship of the now. It's the worship of the possible material goods that are here on Earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
I mean, could you imagine if the apostles all decided to train for a running race?
We
had the, you know, the Jews against the Romans in football in the Colosseum.
I don't know. Tell you what, we're just cracking the surface on this on this topic, and we're just about to the end. So I would highly encourage people to, you know, go and see the Concussion movie. It's going to be coming out on DVD at the end of March, and I would highly recommend trying to look into this topic. I think doctors have an obligation to inform their patients for sure. So I thank you, Tony, for coming on for our roundtable. Kimberly coming in to the studio. This is a great topic, and I think it's something that's going to keep coming up. So you've been listening to the Catholic Doctor Show on a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20. And we are about out of time. So for my partner, Dr. Mike Parker, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy. God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.